Thank you. Flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Spirit, let us become more aware of your presence. Come on, give God a hand all over this place. Come on, just drink him in today. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're here. We thank you, Jesus, that you are seated high on the throne and that you come and you abide on the praises of your people. Make us more aware of your presence, Lord. We are thirsty for you today. Come and fill us, oh God. Come and fill us to overflowing. God, we want to walk in the overflow, dripping with your presence, the oil of your presence, the oil of the Holy Spirit. Come and anoint us, oh God. Come and anoint us, God, with the oil of gladness that runs down from the top of our head to the sole of our feet. Fill us, oh God. We want you today. It's so easy to get caught up in the hustle and the bustle of the holiday season. It's so easy to get distracted by many things, to be stressed out about this or that, or to let our concerns weigh us down. But we need one thing. Jesus said one thing is needful: to kneel in his presence, to drink in his presence, to be with him, to share our love with him, to receive from him and to learn from him. And so as we go through the holiday season, as we celebrate and as we enjoy all the festivities and go through all the hustle and bustle, let's not forget to be aware of the presence of God, the presence of the living God who is inside of us. Come on, give him a big hand of praise. Come on, let's sing that again. Let us become more aware of your presence. Come on, sing it out. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory.
Just sing to him a new song. Your presence,
Holy
Lord.
Spirit, you are welcome.
We love you, Jesus.
Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
We worship you, Lord.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be
it again.
Lord, Holy Spirit,
Jesus, we worship you all over this place. We lift up the holy, mighty name of Jesus.
Come,
fill us, God.
Hallelujah. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be your. Thank you.
hand of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to worship you today, Father. We thank you for the privilege, the joy, and the honor to be in your presence. Lord, let us never forget how closely you walk with us, that you never leave us nor forsake us, that you are inside of us, God, that we have the mind of Christ. And so fill our minds with your thoughts today and this week, oh God. Touch us, Lord. Minister to us today. Let our hearts be open to hear your word today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. It's so wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord with each and every one of you today. If this is your first time at Carpenter Shop Church, we'd like to give you a special welcome and invite you to visit us in the foyer after the service so that we can give you a gift. And at this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways to give. You can do so on our My Church app. You can do so online. And you can also do so by text. If you're giving by cash or check, please make sure you include your email so that we can send you a giving receipt. God bless you as you give. You can come forward at this time.
Presence of the Lord here among us today. Praise the Lord. Come on, give him praise one more time. Could you do that? Hallelujah. Just let me give you a couple of reminders before we get into the word today. Those reminders are that in previous promotion, I think you had a paper a few weeks ago, there is not a concert this evening. So we just want to make sure you're aware of that. Our schedule for Christmas service is Friday night. Would you say that with me? Friday night. Christmas falls on Sunday this year. And it's not because it's right or wrong or even indifferent, but we have selected to be in worship together on Friday night, 7 o'clock. So this frees you from guilt. Amen. Okay. This frees you up on Sunday morning. And I want you to, some of you, a couple of people say, well, you know, I always look forward to Christmas service, you know, no matter when it is on Christmas Day. Ahoskie Christian Center, right over here. Askeville Assembly of God, right over that way, okay? It's a great time for you to be able to attend a church beside your own. And these two churches are having a service, a brief service, on Christmas Day. So we just simply want to give you an opportunity to spend time with your family. And so we will gather. Our Sunday service will be Friday night. And this only happens once in how many years? Seven. Pastor Joy, you win a prize. All right? 7 years. You get to go out with your husband today at lunch, okay? Praise God. She love it. She love it. So, Friday night worship. Let's come prepare. We're going to have cider and cookies available at the close of the service as a time of fellowship. There'll be some special elements to the service, and it won't be a long night. It won't. It'll be a brief service and just a time of worship and celebration. And we just invite you to be here on Friday night. And we pray that you and your family will have an amazing Christmas season. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't forget, Ahoskie Christian Center and Askeville Assembly of God, both having services on Christmas morning, okay? Speaking of Christmas, we always delight to bless our people who are homebound, people who can't get out. There's some that haven't been here to church in several years, okay? And this is their home church. They faithfully support. They communicate with us all the time. And we always like to bless them during the holiday season. So there are baskets out there in the foyer. And you may say, well, I forgot it. How many of you say, man, I just forgot it? Okay. Well, we didn't forget that you got cash in your pocket. All right. All right. Okay. There's always an answer. Okay. You're blessed people. So if you say, well, I wish I would have, but I didn't, just see Julie Rasko, Julie, right there, one of our elders, or Pastor Joy, and just say, hey, here's something. We will make sure that those baskets are filled with goodness. You know, we're talking about hoop cheese and jams and jellies and all these other things. So listen, be a blessing. If you need to see one of these ladies, just say, hey, I wish I brought something, but I didn't. Here's a little bit of money to help you out on that. And they will take care of the packaging of those things. We have several things already, but we'll take care of that. And on Wednesday of this week, we'll be making those rounds all throughout the region, blessing those people in their homes. Praise God. I think I got all the announcements out of the way. Amen. It's a wonderful time of the year. And it's a time where we focus on the birth of our Savior. Amen. For the last several weeks, we've been preaching a series on the Advent. And today, we are at that final candle. It's the candle that we call the candle of love. It's the week of love. And so we just encourage you today to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying and allow Him to minister to your hearts. And let's let the Holy Spirit speak to us. We're going to move and transition today in the service to a dramatic presentation. You know, the Bible says in one of those classic verses is, and Mary treasured these things. She pondered them in her heart. And so today we're going to have a dramatic presentation from Pastor Buddy and Cheryl Denton. And they're going to be transitioning here in just a few moments when we finish the message. And we want you to receive today. And I believe God's going to meet us here. We're going to see us at the altar at the close of the service and minister to our needs as we worship Him. We declare His worth. We declare His value in our lives. The first week we talked about hope. We talked about hope. We lit the candle of hope. Hope is a feeling, as you remember in the message, it's a feeling of expectation. It's a desire for a certain thing to happen. How many of you have hopes that have yet been fulfilled? Amen. It's a desire for a certain thing to happen. So Christ is our hope. Amen. And hope is that it's something about hope that it's universal. It's a feeling that every human being has, a hope for life, a hope for a good life, a hope for an abundant life, a hope for a life of blessing. Amen? A life of blessing. In the second week, we talked about the candle of peace, the second one. Isn't it interesting to notice how, you know, there's a stair step? This first one on your left has been lit now for 4 weeks, and so it's getting down. And if we were to come one more time, guess what? We'd have a brush fire, okay? We'd have a brush fire. I had to do some trimming this morning to make sure we didn't have a brush fire. And man, these things have been drinking water. We have to pour water and keep them alive, amen? So the candle of peace, the second one, we talk about peace in a sense of what was promised first by the prophet Isaiah. When he speaks up at a time, it was a time for the kingdom of Israel. The kingdom of Israel was divided. There was the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. My mind went back to college days when I had to memorize dates and I had to memorize, you know, what made up that kingdom. And I had these little acronyms in my head just so I could pass the test, okay? The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom were divided. And the northern kingdom was where? They were in captivity in Babylon. And the southern kingdom was still influenced by pagan gods. The nation was filled with conflict. It was filled with confusion and chaos. And a prophet stands up hundreds of years before the birth of Christ and thunders. He thunders the message. Unto us a child is born. Think about this. Hundreds of years before. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. I'm in Isaiah 9. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So we talked about hope, we talked about peace, and then the third week, last week, we talked about joy. Joy is that state of gladness that all humanity looks for. It's not happiness, okay? Remember we said that happiness is conditional upon things. What makes you happy, okay? What makes you happy is people are going to be happy next Sunday morning because the kids are going to run in there and they're going to tear the paper all to pieces that you paid good money for. Maybe we should be like my grandma. She folded it all up and saved all the bows. Come on. And you know, we used to just think that was ridiculous, but now I understand it, okay? And so people will be happy because they're receiving things. I talked to a little child just this week, and I said, are you ready for Christmas? And they said, yeah. And I said, let me ask you a question. What really excites you about Christmas? And they said, presents. It's inside, isn't it? It is. Presents. And but joy is not like that. Joy is that inner gladness that can only come through Jesus. Listen, I know people who have the best of things, and there's no joy in their lives. So what a sad thing. Joy is not contingent upon things. Joy is an inner peace that comes from relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Amen? Great joy for all the people. The real joy is mentioned from the lips of Matthew in his gospel, chapter number 1, verse number 23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Today, we're in the fourth week, just days away from what the church celebrates as the birth of Christ. And so we call this week the week of love. The week of love. The classic verse which describes in one single verse the whole of Christianity is one that we learn as a child. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I love that illustration. I read many, many years ago how that in the days of the invention of the printing press, Gutenberg, did you know that the motivation for the press was the documentation of scriptures and the proclamation of scriptures? That was the motivation for the printing press. And the printer was busy at work when this press had begun. He was busy at work in his shop. And this was a very serious ordeal here. We're copying the scriptures. We're putting them in printed form. And so it was almost after the manner of the scribes that if there was a mistake made, somebody say mistake. If there was a mistake discovered, then you know what happened to that document? They didn't have one, a shredder. You know, some of us have shredders where we take all our important stuff and we don't want anybody to see it and we shred it. That they would take that document and they would destroy it. The same thing in the days of the scribes, meticulous work. We look at this when we go down to the Qumran community in the Holy Land. Scribes, the work of the scribes. And so the copy would have to be destroyed if it was not printed properly. And so legend has it that the printer had a little girl and she always liked to play around daddy's shop. And she's playing around and she picks up a piece of paper, one that had been destroyed. And she picks it up and she said, Dad, look at this. She had learned to read, and she looked. She said, look, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave. And he said, what? She said, that's all it says. God so loved the world that he gave. She said, I wonder what he gave. And he stopped the machine. He stopped the noise. He stopped everything around him. He said, sweetheart, you want to know what God gave? And legend has it that he led his daughter to the Lord Jesus Christ right beside the printing press. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Here's the rest of it. That whoever believes in him, do you believe? And he led her to Christ. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus Christ. That brings peace. Amen. Pastor Joy and I were talking today about the lack of understanding that I have for some who just cannot seem to get their lives engaged into the kingdom of God. It's such a sad disappointment. It's such a sad thing to see people live their lives and live for themselves and never make room for the things of God. John also makes it very clear in this first epistle concerning Christ. He says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12 and 13, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's pretty clear, isn't it? I write these things, John says, to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. I remember in the early days of learning how to witness to non-believers, I was always taught that, you know, you have to be careful for people. So you say, you know Jesus, or do you know you're on your way to heaven? Well, they would say, well, I hope so. But this is, listen, it's deeper than a hope. It's a reality when your spirit bears witness with his that you're a child of God, it says in the epistles. My spirit bears witness with his. You know whether you're right with God or not. And so we must be ready so that you may know that you have eternal life. What a peace. What a peace we have knowing that we have life through the Son of God. And he said in the same John chapter 20, verse number 31, but these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And so the question arises, what do we do with this love? This week of love. What do we do with this love? We didn't receive love, the love of God, simply to keep us out of hell, though that's a part of it. We didn't receive the love of God just to keep us from spending eternity in a devil's hell. We received the love of Christ so that we might also be conduits for his love to the world. He wants us to shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that great message of the gospel. He wants us to share his love. I love that teaching about the Pharisee who asked Jesus, what was the greatest of all the commandments? Remember Matthew 22, verses 35 to 40. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You love God and you love others. You love God and you love others. All the law, verse 40, he says, and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And then the question arises, well, who's my neighbor? And if you know the Bible, you know that he then tells the story of what? The Good Samaritan. And the answer comes through the story of a Good Samaritan. Everybody is your neighbor. Every person that you come in contact with is a neighbor to you. And we are called to love everybody. And Jesus teaches us as he walks about in public ministry for 3+ years, and he concludes with this. These are some of his last words. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, I love this verse, John 13, 35. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's the trademark of Christianity, a spirit of love about you. Jesus said this would be the very thing that would qualify us as believers. We have the hope of the Savior. We have the peace that he brings into our heart. We have the joy that he indeed came to us. And we have the love that is shed abroad in our hearts, the love that calls us to love other people and expand his kingdom, the love that motivates you and I to proclaim him through our lives. Can we just pause for a moment before Pastor Denton comes? Can we just pause for a moment and just pray and ask the Lord to just refresh our relationship with him, to allow his love to be preeminent in our lives? Just close your eyes for a moment. Father, I thank you, God, for your tremendous love for us. I thank you, Lord, that you did give your only Son that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And I pray, Father, that you would help us today to be gripped, even through the remainder of this service today, that we would not only just celebrate your life, your birth, but we would also celebrate your life in us, your fire in us, your presence in us, that we would never be content until we're willing to share the power and the love of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Logan, would you come and light the candle of love today? Pastor Denton, would you come? Would you make welcome to our platform today, Pastor Buddy Denton?
Pastor Wallace, what an honor it is for us to be here today to celebrate Christmas with you. You know, there's a popular song that says, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." You know, like that song? I like that song because it is the most wonderful time of the year, but it's also the busiest time of the year. I tell you, this week I don't want to be out in the shops. I might have to, but I don't want to be, but it is so busy. But what I like about Christmas is that a large part of the world is forced to focus on Christ. Well, I know some people don't. They choose not to, but there's a choice that they have to choose whether we're going to celebrate Christ or not. A lot of people enjoy the days off. They enjoy the presents, and as already been mentioned, it's a fun time around the tree and to get the presents, but we focus on Christ. It's really all about the baby. And so tonight we want to share, or this morning we want to share with you a drama entitled From the Cradle to the Cross. From the Cradle to the Cross. I hear the jingling bells. I see Santa on the corner. Things look jolly well. Folks are singing Merry Christmas, decorating trees. There is something missing. What does Christmas mean? Lots of goodies baking, cakes and pies galore. Turkeys in the oven. Friends are at the door. Everyone is happy, or that's how it seems. Do they know the joy that Christmas really brings? Stores are overcrowded, people come and go. Packages are wrapped with ribbons and with bows. Many decorations, even mistletoe. Everyone is busy, but do they really know? Christmas is Jesus who was born so long ago. Christmas is Jesus. May it be the kind. Let us worship Him as did shepherds, and our gifts lay at His feet. Christmas is Jesus. That's what Christmas really means. Christmas is Jesus. That's what Christmas really means. Thank you. Christmas is Jesus, who was born so long ago. Christmas is Jesus, may it be the kind we know. Let us worship Him as did shepherds, and our gifts lay at His feet. Christmas is Jesus, that's what Christmas really means. Christmas is Jesus, that's what Christmas really means. Christmas is Jesus, who was born so long ago. Christmas is Jesus, may it be the kind we know. Let us worship Him as the shepherds, and our gifts Christmas is Jesus, that's what Christmas really means. Christmas is Jesus, that's what Christmas really means.
My name is Mary, and I have stepped out of the pages of God's holy word to share about the greatest love ever known. It's a love that brought God's Son down from heaven and laid Him in a manger. A love that in later years led Him to a cruel cross. His name is Jesus. Do you know Him? Oh, I pray that before we leave, you will know Him more and you will love Him more. Go with me back to Bethlehem, to that night so long ago, and let's imagine we have baby Jesus right here with us. Oh. He was so precious. Oh, I love to caress His little cheeks. Oh, and to kiss His tiny fingers. Oh, they were the fairy hands of God. Oh.
From the manger stall, they are the hands of God, yet they are so small. They'll reach beyond tomorrow, through all eternity. The hands that form the universe became humanity. His hands are love, His touch is grace. His hands will be nailed to a cross, because He'll take your place. So take His hands, His touch in mine. His hands will hold the scrolls. His teaching will amaze both young and old. He'll stretch His hands across the raging sea, and then at His command the storm will become peace. His hands are love. Because He'll take your place. So take His hands, His touch embrace. His hands are love, His touch is grace. His hands are love, His touch is grace. His hands will be nailed to a cross, because He'll take your place. So take His hands, His touch in grace. His hands are love, His touch is grace. His hands are love, His touch is grace.
So normal, so human. And yet, I remembered the words of the angel who said He would be great and would be called the Son of the Highest. Oh, I wonder what it was like when He said goodbye in heaven. I wonder, did the angels cry? I wonder, when the time came, was His Father's heart broken for Him to go? And what about you, little one? Did you dread leaving your celestial home for this? Oh, thank you. Thank you for coming. Jesus, Jesus, Holy One, God's own Son, I'm so glad that you've come in.
Oh, my thoughts were often interrupted by the lowing of cattle. I did say cattle, not castle. That's where I would have chosen a castle, a hassle, or a palace for the God's Son to be born. However, when we arrived in Bethlehem, the streets were crowded with other people, others who had come to pay taxes also. Oh, we searched diligently for lodging. No room. No room. Surely God had a special place chosen for His Son to be born. No room. I asked Joseph, what will we do? God will provide, he said. And God did provide, although far differently than I expected. A simple stable became nursery for the Christ child. And He was welcomed into the world that He created with the aroma of hay and animals. Oh, we wrapped Him in swaddling clothes to keep Him warm. And His cradle was a manger. Oh, we did not have much. Oh, but
thoughts of our humble surroundings soon faded as the presence of God descended and a holy hush filled our hearts. This was the night that the long-awaited Messiah had come. Oh, it felt as if the whole world should know. But they didn't. We only had a few visitors that night. Shepherds from the nearby hillside. Oh, when they entered, their faces were aglow. And they told us angels had appeared to them. Oh, at first they were frightened. The same thing had happened to me. Oh, but the angels said, "Fear not." And when God speaks, "Fear not," he has a peace that passeth all understanding. Oh, Jehovah, may your peace descend upon us this morning. Bathe every heart and every troubled mind, Father, with your peace today. Thank you. Thank you. We receive, Lord, your peace. Your peace. Thank you. Thank you. Well, back to the shepherds. They told us that the sky lit up and a multitude of the heavenly hosts proclaimed glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill to all men. For unto you is born this day in the city of David. That's where we were, you see. Bethlehem, the city of David. The angel said, listen. Oh, this thrilled our hearts. God told someone else beside us. The angels told the shepherds that a Savior, the Christ, had been born. Do you understand what a wonderful confirmation that was to us? God told someone else. He had told us, but our friends and our families doubted us, and some of them turned from us. Only a few believed. And for 9 long months, it felt like the heavens were silent. Oh, friends, even when the heavens feel silent, remember, our God is at work. Our God is at work. And this night, God told the shepherds too. Oh, we rejoiced and worshiped and praised God together for what he had done. After they left, I remember watching baby Jesus sleep, and I thought of all my questions. There were still so many mysteries. I could not explain them. Oh, but I tucked them away and pondered them and thought about them many times through the coming years. Some months later, we had some other surprise visitors. Let's see, how long was it? Well, that is not important, but we were still in Bethlehem. And men came to the house where we were staying. They looked rather important, although their clothes were a little dusty. They asked us, "Where is he who was born king?" They called him king. "Where is he who was born king of the Jews?" I wonder how they found us. They said that God had led them with a star. A star! Oh, not a star like any other star, but God led them with a bright, brilliant star all the way right to where we were. Amazing. Our God can do anything. Yes, anything. And Jehovah will lead all who are willing to follow him.
star to Bethlehem, it will show you the way. Follow the star in the manger, he'll lead you to heaven one day. For the babe you will find, there is the light of the world. So follow the star, follow it far to find truth, life, and the way. Jesus is the light of the world, the bright and morning star. Jesus is the light of the world, he came to conquer the dark. Wise men, seek him wherever you are, follow the star, both near and far. Jesus, bright and morning star. Follow the star for always. Never go your own way. Don't be distracted by others who would lead you astray. Stay on the straight and narrow path. Just follow the star. Follow it far to find truth, life, and the way. Jesus is the light of the world, the bright and morning star. Jesus is the light of the world, he's came to conquer the dark. Wise men, seek him wherever you are, follow the star, both near and far. Jesus, bright and morning star. Bright and morning star.
The wise men had followed that star right to where we were. And they also brought gifts. Oh, oh, gifts fitting for a king. Gold, frankincense, myrrh. I began to wonder, although I did not tell anyone, maybe we would be moving to a palace soon. They came looking for the king of the Jews. They brought gifts fitting for a king. And the angel had said he would sit on the throne of David. Maybe we would, but I didn't tell anyone. Oh, I had much to learn about God's timing. We did move, but not to a palace. We fled to Egypt. Why? In the middle of the night, Joseph woke me up. Mary, get up. We need to leave now. Joseph, surely it can wait till morning. I remember just wanting to go back to sleep, but he urgently awakened me. No, God said we must leave now. God had not told me that time. I like it when he told me too. But gratefully, I listened to my husband's leading. We left. And after we left, we arrived safely in Egypt. And when news traveled to us what happened, 'twas true. Jesus' life was in danger. I don't like to talk about what happened. I don't even like to think about it. But you need to know. You need to know to be reminded how important it is to obey God's leading, whether you understand or not.
wicked King Herod. Oh, such an evil, evil man. He had learned from the wise men that King of the Jews had been born. He was jealous. Oh, he wanted to protect his throne, and he had. He gave orders to. Every boy in Bethlehem, 2 years old and under, was killed. Think of the two-year-olds in your world, and those learning to crawl and talk, and the newborns in the mother's arms. Oh, he had them all killed. Oh, I thought of the families all through the town, and the poor mothers. Oh, I remember thinking, if that happened to me, I would never survive. I was wrong. God spared Jesus in Bethlehem, but travel to with me from his cradle to his cross. Over 30 years later, I found myself walking up Calvary. Friends had come to get me, telling me that they had taken Jesus, but I thought surely they were mistaken. Why, for over 3 years, he had traveled, bringing hope and healing. He had cleansed the unclean leper, and they were whole. He had opened blinded eyes, and they saw the beauty of the sky and the sky and the birds flying. We saw their joy as they beheld the beauty of God's creation. Oh, he fed the hungry. I remember on the hillside when the fish and the bread was multiplied for every. Oh, surely it had to be someone else. But it wasn't. Oh, when I got my first glimpse, no, John came to stand by me, and no, I couldn't watch when they threw him on the cross. But I heard the pounding. Oh, as they drove the spikes into his hands. The hands that I had kissed when he was a baby. The hands that had blessed the children. We're being nailed to the cross. And then I heard a thud. It was the sound of a cross being raised and dropped. I had to look. Oh, but I didn't want to. No.
his flesh was ripped and hanging from him. And I wanted to just wipe the blood and something, maybe from his eyes or his legs that were cramping and spasming. If I could just lift them, if I could just do something, but they wouldn't let me close. I kept looking. I looking at the sky, waiting for angels to come again. I even said, Jesus, come down, Jesus. You see, he had escaped the crowd so many times. I kept waiting for it to end. And all the time they were screaming at him, and they were making fun and slapping him and spitting on him. And when I thought I could bear it no more, he turned and looked at me. Even in all of his agony and his suffering, he was still concerned. He asked John to take care of me. And not just me. Not just me. He talked to the thief dying beside him, promising him paradise. And he looked out on the very ones doing this to him. And he asked God to forgive them. What kind of love is this? Oh, Jesus. The angels didn't come. And we heard him say, "It is finished." He stopped breathing. And my heart cried out, "Oh God, oh God, how could this be?" It was not only my son, it was your son. He was to be our Savior. He was to be our Lord. And he's gone. He's gone. I had a choice. We all have a choice. And I chose to keep loving my Creator, even though I did not understand. We questioned and we mourned for 3 long days. And on that 3rd day, some of the ladies went to the tomb, and the stone had been rolled away. And they discovered that the tomb was empty. Jesus was not there. You know, don't you? Have you heard the wonderful news? Oh, glory be to God. Jesus rose triumphant from the grave. Death could not hold God's son. The grave could not keep captive everlasting life. Jesus rose and lives forevermore. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, God. We praise you, God. We worship you, God. Jesus was alive. And he appeared to over 500 people. They saw him with their own eyes and listened once more to his teachings. And then we began to understand. We began to understand that he went to the cross as a sacrificial lamb to pay the penalty for our sins. Amen. The cross became our altar, and he was the lamb. He also, we began to understand, was the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. Oh, he had told that parable in his teaching. A lamb, a shepherd. Perhaps that is why God chose a stable for his birthplace. God always has a reason and a plan for everything he does. Then we began to understand the prophet Isaiah, who said he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. Oh, Jesus, may your healing virtue flow over us today. Lord, by your stripes we are healed. Heal broken hearts. Heal broken spirits. Heal wounded and sick bodies, we pray. We began to understand the work that Jesus did on that cross. But before he went away, now that surprised us also, he left again. God just does not work like we think he's going to. But Jesus left again. But before he left, he told us he was coming again to receive unto himself all who know and love him. He said he's going to prepare a place. Oh, but for those who choose not to, they will hear, depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, may we examine our hearts this morning as we ask ourselves again, how much do I know him? How well do I know him? How much do I love him? The love, the greatest love of all. Oh, from Christ's cradle to Christ's cross, the greatest love story ever told.
I'm going to ask you to stand with us this morning. Sing this song with us, would you? I think you know it. Oh, holy night. Oh, holy night. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul found his worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious. Oh, now.
in lowly manger, in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our needs. To our weakness is no stranger. Behold your King, before Him lowly bent. Behold your King, before Him lowly bent.
Well, let's worship Him. Hallelujah. I want you to just come around. I want to invite everyone just to come around the front here. We're going to play that one more time. And you know, this morning, I don't know if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, but the best gift you could ever give to the Lord is to give yourself. Well, Dave, if you want to make this a memorable Christmas that like never before, is to give your life totally to Him. It's to give yourself totally to Him. I'm going to pray that God will make this, that your family members, you see, there's some of you have unsaved loved ones, and it will be the awesome, most awesome Christmas you ever have to see your loved ones saved this Christmas. So, Father, right now, we join together as these people have gathered together around this altar, as they're committing themselves to you again. Lord, I pray that you will do a mighty work. Your conviction will be so real in their homes this year. Lord, that the deliverance will take place. Salvations, healings, whatever they need, Lord, we magnify your name here. And Lord, we're believing today. Lord, I pray even in this service this morning, Lord, I felt your anointing in here from the very beginning. And we feel your anointing here right now. And Lord, I pray for anybody in this service that don't know you as Lord and Savior, that right now they'll repent. They'll say, forgive me of all of my sins. Forgive me. I give you. I choose to follow you today. Hallelujah. Come on, folks, let's worship Him. Let's give ourselves again. You may already be committed, but I want you to recommit your life to Him this morning. Lord, we love you. We love you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you today. We worship you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we claim salvation. We claim salvation for these, for families that, that are represented here today. Oh, we just love you. We worship you here. Oh, we love your presence, your Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you. He knows our need. Hallelujah. Yes, He does. Where weakness is no stranger. Behold your King, before Him lowly bent. Behold your King, behold, worship your King. Oh yes, Lord, before Him lowly bent. We bow to you this morning, Lord, in our hearts. We bow to you. clap of praise here this morning.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Father, we bless you today, God. We give you praise and honor for your goodness and your mercy, your provision in our lives, Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for joy. Thank you for peace. Thank you for love. This is the week of love, God. We give you honor for your greatest gift, your Son. Live in our hearts, rule in our lives, and use us, God, to advance your kingdom and your purpose on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. Could I have a couple of ushers, if you would, grab a bucket there. Hersey, if you would, take that one there. And Brother Paul Outlaw, would you grab that bucket there and stand at the back door? Let's give a gift of appreciation to the Dentons. Come on, did you enjoy their presentation today? Let's give a gift of appreciation to them today for being with us. Merry Christmas to you. God bless you. Don't forget, service for Christmas, Friday night, 7 o'clock. God bless you as you go today. Praise the Lord.